نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. Verily the praise belongs to Allah, we praise Him, seek His assistance and forgiveness, and we seek refuge in Allah from the evil of ourselves and the evil consequences of our deeds. Whoever Allah guides, there is no one that can lead him astray, and whoever Allah leads astray, there is no one that can guide him. I bear witness that nothing deserves to be worshipped except Allah alone, and that He has no partners or associates, and I bear witness that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is His servant and His messenger. Bismillah ta'ala, tonight we would like to look at the next question dealing with the topic of al-iman, or faith in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Last week we dealt with the evidences for ulu al-qahr, and we have mentioned previously, from what the Shaykh had mentioned early on, that al-ulu, the highness or the exaltedness or sublimity of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is of different types. And most of the scholars said that there are two or three types. The Shaykh, in reference to this particular issue, when he asks what may be understood or derived from the name Al-Ali, or the name Al-A'la, or similar names, Al-Zahir, Al-Qahir, Al-Muta'al, and so on, he said that the sifa, the characteristic description or quality of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that's derived from it, is Al-Ulu. And he said that we have to believe in this description or characteristic of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with all of its meanings. And he said that there are three meanings. Ulu fawqiyatihi, and he means by that, ulu al-dhat, Allah's divine being is high. And he said ulu al-qahr, that means that Allah's dominance or supremacy, control and authority and power over everything is high. It's over everything. Everyone is beneath Him. And he said ulu al-sha'ni, al-sha'ni. And that is the type that we want to discuss this evening. Ulu al-sha'ni, or al-qadr, or al-manzila, or al-makana. And this refers primarily to the sifat of Allah, the highness of Allah's sifat. Last week we talked about ulu al-qahr. And tonight, inshallah, we'd like to talk about the third type of ulu that the Shaykh mentioned, ulu al-sha'ni. But before we do that, we just want to look quickly at some of the evidences that we discussed last week. And the question where the Shaykh, he said, what is the evidence of ulu al-qahr from the Qur'an? In question 68, and the evidence for ulu al-qahr from the Sunnah in question 69. So, if somebody can just mention for us one of the evidences that the Shaykh mentioned, one of the evidence that he mentioned that proves the highness of Allah's dominance over everything, that everything is beneath Him and under His control, from the Qur'an, evidence from the Qur'an that the Shaykh mentioned. He mentioned six ayat. Give me just one of them. Now. وَهُوَ الْقَاهِرُ فَوْقَ الْإِبَادِهِ فَوْقَ إِبَادِهِ. Now. Meaning?
He is the power above the slaves.
Powerful above his slaves. Now, طيب, another evidence from the Quran that the Shaykh mentioned. Ahmed. Again?
Surah
Sad, ayah 65. Now.
قُلْ إِنَّمَا أَنَا مُنذِرٌ وَمَا مِنْ إِلَٰهٍ إِلَّا اللَّهُ الْوَاحِدُ الْقَهَّارُ.
Now. The meaning?
Say that I'm only a warner.
I'm only a warner. Say I'm only a warner. The Prophet ﷺ is speaking. Allah is commanding him. Say. قُلْ إِنَّمَا أَنَا مُنذِرٌ. I'm only a warner. I don't have any authority or power over the matter beyond that. Now.
And there's no deity worthy of worship except Allah, the one high down.
Naam. And there is no deity or anything that's worthy of worship except Allah, the one. Al-Wahid Al-Qahhar. Al-Wahid Al-Qahhar. The one who is alone, who is unique, and he is dominant over everything and everyone. Now, one other evidence. Now.
Surah 6, Ayah 61.
What is it? What does it give us the meaning of it or something?
He is the resistible, irresistible.
The irresistible. Al-Qahhar. Over his slaves.
He sent guardians, angels guarding, writing all of other one good and bad deeds over you until the death approaches one of you.
Okay. But the ayah, the point of the ayah, the shahid in the ayah that the Shaykh is mentioning is the first part of the ayah, that he is al-qahhar or al-qahir in that ayah, above his slaves, his servants, his worshippers, his creatures. Now, another ayah, different ayah. Naam, somebody else. Naam, Musa.
29:4.
Again?
Surah 29, fourth ayah. وَهُوَ الْوَاحِدُ الْقَحَارِ
وَهُوَ الْوَاحِدُ الْقَحَارِ طيب. جيد, طيب. What is the meaning of the ayah?
He is the one, the subduer.
طيب. Anyway, the Shaykh mentioned some ayahs like this, and he also, most of the ayahs that he mentioned, four of them, they came like with this meaning, Al-Qahir, or Al-Qahar, or Al-Wahid Al-Qahar. And then he mentioned a couple of other ayats that nobody mentioned, but okay, no problem. Inshallah, you can go back and check them. Alright, huh?
مَا مِن دَابَةٍ
إِلَّا هُوَ آخِذٌ بِنَاسِيَتِهَا. Naam. And what does it mean? Naam, there is no creature, no living creature, except that Allah has full control over that creature. Allah is grasping its forelock. وَآخِذٌ بِنَاصِيَتِهَا. And the last ayah that he mentioned from Surah Al-Rahman. Anybody remember? يَا مَعَشَرَ الْجِنِّ وَالْإِنسِ. Huh?
Uh-huh.
فَنْفُضُوا. Now, جيد. جزاك الله خير. O assembly of jinn and men, if you are able to penetrate, to go beyond the regions of the heavens and the earth, then do so. And you will not be able to do so إِلَّا بِسُلْطَانِ. And that sultan, that authority, the power of everything is with Allah. So there is no escape from Allah. There is no escape from Allah. Now, as far as the sunnah, what about evidence from the sunnah? The Shaykh, he mentioned three hadith, at least one of them. Now.
فَإِنَّكَ تَقْدِي لَا يُقْدَى عَلَيْكَ.
فَإِنَّكَ تَقْدِي لَا يُقْدَى عَلَيْكَ. Now, meaning?
Whatever you decree is fair.
You're the one who decrees. You're the one who decrees.
And no one else.
And no one decrees or decides or rules or judges against you, against what you have decreed. Now. Anybody remember another one? Just the point that the Shaykh mentioned even, just the part of the hadith that is relevant. Now.
Allah, I am your slave, the son of your female slave. And that your ruling is just, and I am pleased with you as my Lord.
Your ruling is just, I am pleased with you.
As my Lord.
What is the point of the hadith that is relevant to our topic? Anybody, help me. What is the point? In this supplication, the Prophet ﷺ said that this supplication, O Allah, I am your slave and the son of your male slave and the son of your female slave. Huh? In this supplication, he said something that's relevant to our point. What is the... He missed it when he read it. Huh? Nasiyati biyadik. That's the point of the supplication. Nasiyati biyadik. That my forelock is in your hand. Meaning you have control over me. Absolute, complete control. And this is what Allah has complete control over every creature, every living being, everything that exists in the heavens and the earth. طيب, tonight, as we mentioned, we want to discuss the third type of ulu, ulu al-sha'n. And some of the scholars referred to ulu al-sha'n as ulu al-qadri. And the meaning of it is al-manzila, يعني ulu, the highness of the station or the status or the position or the rank. Ulu al-manzila or al-makana. And Shaykh Abdul Rahman al-Sa'di in one place said, it is ulu al-qadr wa sifat. And this is important for us to relate to because it helps us to understand what we're really talking about here. We're talking about the highness, the sublimity, the loftiness of Allah's sifat. Okay, so Allah's His divine being, Allah's that, He Himself is high above everything. And His characteristics are also high, lofty, sublime. And as well His power and authority and dominance over everything is high. And these are the three types of ulu. And most of the scholars of Sunnah mentioned. Tonight we want to talk about Allah's sifat. So the Shaykh, he says, I think this is question number 70, right?
Yes.
Question number 70. The Shaykh, he says, مَا دَلِيلُ أُلُوِ الشَّعْنِ وَمَا الَّذِي يَجِبُ نَفْيُهُ عَنِ اللَّهِ عَزَّ وَجَلَّ. And what is the evidence for ulu al-sha'n? The highness of Allah's status or station or position or rank. And what is it that is obligatory for us to negate, to deny being attributed to Allah Azza wa Jalla? What is it that we must negate or reject from being ascribed or attributed to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? This question is two questions. The first question, مَا دَلِيلُ عُلُوُ الشَّعْنِ. That's the first part of the question, and that's one question. And the second part of the question is a separate question altogether, although it's related to it. What is it that is obligatory for us to reject, to deny, to negate from being attributed to Allah Azza wa Jalla? And in this answer, the Shaykh, he gives a lengthy answer to this question. Unlike the previous questions before this, on every subject, the Shaykh, he always says, what is the dalil from the Qur'an? And then he asks, what is the dalil from the Sunnah? But he didn't ask for the dalil from the Qur'an or the Sunnah in this question. What should have made us take note, what is happening here? This question is a little bit different than what we have seen, all the questions before this. So, if you already read this before, probably you have a clue as to why he didn't say Qur'an and Sunnah. Does anybody have a clue as to why in this question he didn't say, what is the dalil from Kitab or Sunnah? No.
Maybe Ijma.
Not Ijma. That's not what he is hinting at here. But in any case, if you read the question carefully, you will see that he is alluding to some of the principles that we discussed previously. The principles of the indications of Allah's names, dalalat of Allah's names. That there are three different types of dalala, indications, dalala, that are proof of something, that point to something. And the first of them we said is al-mutabaqa. And the second of them is al-tadammun. And the third one, iltizam. So the Shaykh is pointing to these principles. That these are dalala, types of indications that point to something, that are proof, that indicate, that direct us to something. So what is it in this question that is going to direct us to the answer to it? What is it? So he refers to two of those principles in this answer. Al-tadammun, dalala al-tadammun, and dalala al-iltizam. What do we mean by tadammun? According to the Shaykh's definition of tadammun, and we said that the scholars have explained it two different ways, but according to his explanation, Hafiz al-Hakami, rahimahullah, he said that a tadammun means that a name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala contains within it a sifa, a characteristic or a description of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that is derived from that name directly. Directly derived from that name. Okay? So this is the first type of evidence, dalalatul tadammun, that the Shaykh is referring to in this answer. And the second type of evidence that the Shaykh is referring to in this answer is dalalatu al-iltizam. And iltizam means that from the names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you might also derive or find contained within it an indication, and by necessity, that it points to something else that's not directly, linguistically derived from the name. But by necessity, these other characteristics or qualities must be attributed to Allah based on this name. And the clearest example, the easiest example that we can give is the example of the name Al-Khaliq. That from this name Al-Khaliq, we derive a characteristic of Allah by tadammun, and that is what? Creating. That He creates. That from His characteristics that He creates. And by necessity, we also understand that He has other characteristics, right? That in order for Him to be a creator, He has to what? He has to have knowledge, He has to have life, He has to have will, He has to have ability, He has to have so many things, right? That's by necessity, those things have to be present in order for Him to be the creator. So this is dalalatul iltizam. By necessity, that name also points to something else. Though those characteristics are not derived directly, linguistically, from the name Al-Khaliq. But by necessity, you know that He also has to have Al-Qudra, power. He has to have ilm, knowledge. He has to have irada, will, to create. He has to have hayat, life, to be a creator. Nothing, something non-existent can create, right? And so on. So, these two principles, Al-Tizam and Tadammun, the Shaykh's point, he's pointing to, that there's some proof of Allah's ulu al-sha'ni, the highness of His sifat, that is indicated by these two principles. At-tadammun, that within the names of Allah, characteristics are directly derived from them. From al-alim is the characteristic of ilm, knowledge. Al-hakim is the characteristic of hikmah, wisdom, and so on like this. And indirectly, there are other characteristics that of necessity must be attributed to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala based on what He is giving us here. So, the Shaykh, he says, what is the evidence of ulu al-sha'ni, ulu al-qadr, or sifat? اعلم أن ulu al-sha'ni هو ما تضمنه اسمه القدوس السلام الكبير المتعال وما في معناها واستلزمته جميع صفات كماله ونعوت جلاله. Know that ulu al-sha'n, it is that which is ما تضمنه اسمه القدوس السلام الكبير المتعال. ما تضمنه يعني ما يدل عليه بدلالة التضمن. That which is pointed to by the indication of what? تضمن. In His name, القدوس السلام Al-Kabir, Al-Muta'al. These names contain within them some indication. That's the proof of Allah's ulu, highness. Highness of His sifat, His station, His status, His rank. وَاسْتَلْزَمَتْهُ جَمِيعُ صِفَاتِ كَمَالِهِ وَنُعُوتُ جَلَالِهِ. And that which is necessitated by what? دلالة الالتزام. That which is necessitated by dalalat al-iltizam in all of the sifat of His perfection, the sifat that indicate His kamal, His perfection, and the nu'ut jalalihi, the descriptions of His yani majesty, the descriptions of His majesty. So we have here some of His names and we have some of His sifat that point either by tadammun or by iltizam to this point, the proof of what? Of the highness, the loftiness, the sublimity of Allah's sifat, His rank, His station, His status. Now, His manzila or His makana. The Shaykh actually mentions four of the names of Allah. Al-Quddus, Al-Salam, Al-Kabir, and Al-Muta'al. And then he mentions also that which is necessitated by what? All of His sifat. The sifat of His perfection and the na'ud of His jalal, His majesty. Yani the characteristics and descriptions of His perfection and His majesty. And the Shaykh mentions here, as he goes on, 14 of Allah's sifat. And all of them are sifat Zatiyah, related to Allah's that, His divine being. As opposed to what? Sifat fi'liyah. The sifat that are related to His actions. The actions that are connected to His mashiyah. That He only does whatever He wills. These are sifat of His that are with Him. Inseparable. Not connected to His will. Huh? Not connected to his will. Allah's knowledge is not connected to his will. He only has knowledge if he wills. That's a characteristic of his that. So he mentions 14, sifat. In the translation of this book, as well as in the Arabic edition, all of it is in one big paragraph. And probably if you read it, you don't know where you're reading. They didn't separate it. But he mentions 14 sifat. And each one of these sifat are derived from one of Allah's asma. So also there are 14 names. Besides the names that he mentioned in the beginning of his answer. Al-Quddus, Al-Salam, Al-Kabir, Al-Muta'al. So this is what we should be paying attention to. That these names are examples, but there are more names. And these sifat are examples, but there are more sifat. That indicate the loftiness, the highness of Allah's sifat, of Allah's station, His status, His rank, His position. And as we read the Quran, we read the Sunnah, we should be looking for these names and looking for these sifat, these characteristics, qualities, descriptions of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, so that we become conscious of the magnificence of Allah and the greatness and glory of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So we become conscious of that. Instead of we just say we believe in Allah. This is what we are talking about here. How we increase our iman through knowing Allah's names and sifat. How we increase our nearness to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by being conscious of His asma, al-husna, and His sifat, al-ulya, by being conscious of them. So the Shaykh is making us conscious here that these are some of the names and these are some of the sifat that indicate and point to by either tadammun or iltizam the highness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's sha'n or His qadr or His manzila. The Shaykh actually mentions one ayat near the end, which is also an ayat which is a principle that is also applicable to this subject. Near the end of his answer, where he says, وَلَهُ الْمَثَلُ الْأَعْلَى وَلَهُ الْمَثَلُ الْأَعْلَى. And when we come to this, inshallah, we'll see how this is a basic principle that also points to the highness of Allah's station or status or rank. And the Shaykh also mentions in his answer a ta'atil and a tamthil that we must negate from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from what he has described himself with. We must not use these false principles of ta'atil, of negating Allah's names or sifat, or tamthil, making examples or likenesses of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala through creation. But then the Shaykh in the end, he says that the evidences concerning this, or the nusus concerning this in the Quran and Sunnah, are well known, understood, plentiful, and famous. And he doesn't mention a lot of ayats in this answer. He doesn't mention a lot of a hadith. But he said they are well known. And wallahi, they are well known. And sometimes we don't think about them, and that's what we want to do now. We want to become more conscious. We want to think about them carefully. Okay, so I want to look first, as we proceed with the answer that the Shaykh gave, I want to look at some of the names that he mentioned in the beginning of his answer. Know that Ulu al-Sha'n is that which is contained within his name, Al-Quddus, Al-Salam, Al-Kabir, Al-Muta'al. The first two names we mentioned, the Shaykh mentioned previously when we talked about the different divisions of Tadammun. He said Tadammun, the indication by Tadammun from Allah's names are four divisions. Al-Ism Al-A'lam, the proper name of the Creator of the heavens and earth, Allah, and this name contains within it all the names of Allah and all of His sifat. And the second we said, by Tadammun, we also find within some of the names of Allah that which indicates one of his sifat related to his dhat, his divine being. And the third type we said is that which contains within it, that which points to a sifa of his action. And the last type we said is that which requires of us to acknowledge or to declare Allah to be free from every type of defect or shortcoming or evil or whatever is falsely ascribed to him. And the example that he gave there, he said, Al-Qudus As-Salam, that these names indicate that. That what we understand by Tadammun from Al-Qudus As-Salam is the declaration, the acknowledgement that Allah is free from all imperfection. So, quickly, we want to look at the explanation of Shaykh Abdul Rahman Al-Sa'adi of one of the books of Ibn Qayyim, his explanation of Al-Kafi Al-Shafi'a. In the chapter entitled Tawheed Al-Anbiya Wal-Mursaleen, the Tawheed of the Prophets and Messengers, as opposed to the Tawheed of the people of corruption and deviation. And the Shaykh Abdul Rahman Al-Sa'adi, he said in his book, in his explanation of that book of Ibn Qayyim, rahimahullah, Al-Haqq Al-Wadi Al-Mubin, he mentions the poetry of Ibn Qayyim about the names and his explanation of them, and then he further expands on the explanation of them. He says, pointing to what Ibn Qayyim rahimahullah said, he said, هَذَا تَفْسِيرَ الْقُدُوسَ السَّلَامِ. Yani what Ibn Qayyim rahimahullah said is the explanation of Qudus al-Salam. And now he himself begins to explain these names. Al-Qudus al-Salam. Now what is the importance of these two names? These are from the names that indicate Allah being free from all imperfection. He says, هَذَا تَفْسِيرَ الْقُدُوسَ السَّلَامِ فَهُوَ الْمُقَدَّسِ الْمُعَظَّمِ. That he, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, is al-muqaddas, the holy, al-mu'azzam, the exalted, al-munazzah, an kulli su'in, the one who is free from every type of evil. As-salam min mumatalati ahadin min khalqihi, the one who is free from there being anyone in his creation being similar to him or like him. He's free from this. There's no likeness to him. وَمِنَ النُّقْصَانِ, and also from any type of defect. وَمِنْ كُلِّ مَا يُنَافِي كَمَالَهُ, and from everything that negates his perfection. And he's talking about Al-Quddus. He said Al-Quddus, what is the holy, the exalted, the one who is free from every evil, the one who is free from there being anything in his creation being similar to him or like him. And he is free from any type of defect or shortcoming. And he is also free from anything that negates his perfection. Anything that would be ascribed to him that negates his perfection, he's free from all of this. This is the meaning of Al-Qudus. فَهَذَا ضَابِتُ مَا يُنَزَّهُ عَنْهُ. This is the, yani the guideline, the principle that makes us to know what should be rejected from Allah, negated from Allah, should not be ascribed to Allah. That we declare him to be free from every type of defect. From any perspective that you may look at it, from any angle that you look at it, he's free of any type of defect. And he also is free, and he is highly exalted above there being for him a mathil, or a shabi, or a kufu, or a sami, or nid, or mudad. That there's no one that is like him, that is similar to him, that is comparable to him, that is equal to him, that is a partner for him, or that is an opponent to him. وَيُنَزَّعَ النَّقْصِ صِفَةٍ مِّن صِفَاتِهِ الَّتِي هِيَ أَكْمَلَ الصِّفَاتِ وَعَظَمُهَا وَأَوْصَعُهَا. And he should also be declared to be free from being denied any sifa that is from his sifats of perfection. That we don't give him something that is his right, that he should be rightly described with, from the sifat of perfection. And his sifat are the most perfect and the greatest and the vast, the most vast of all characteristics. وَمِنْ تَمَامِ تَنْزِيهِهِ عَنْ ذَلِكَ, and from the completion of declaring him to be free from these things, from the completion of it, is not just declaring him to be free from defect or shortcoming or evil or any ascription that's falsely attributed to him or anything that negates his perfection, but from the completion of this tanzih, to declare him to be free from what should not be ascribed to him, is إِثْبَات صفات الكبرياء والعظمة له. يعني to confirm for him the صفات of الكبرياء والعظمة, the صفات of greatness and grandeur and magnificence and exaltedness. To declare him, to declare these صفات for him, Not just to negate defect from him, but to declare perfection for him. And this is what could be understood from many of the expressions that came to us in the Quran and in the Sunnah, such as one of the adhkar that a Muslim should be daily saying, especially in the morning and evening, Subhanallah wa bihamdihi. Subhanallah wa bihamdihi. Subhanallah wa bihamdihi. Now, Subhanallah, Allah is free from all imperfections. Wa bihamdihi, and He is due praise because of His perfection. And the Prophet ﷺ taught us, Subhanallah, to say it 100 times. You will get 1,000 good deeds written for you, 1,000 of your sins wiped away. Or you can go better and say, Subhanallah wa bihamdihi. Or you can say, Subhanallah al-Azim wa bihamdihi. And so on. And those adhkar are found in Husni Muslim in the books of adhkar. But the point is that what we are pointing to here is what? That this is the declaration of Allah being free from any imperfection. And it is at the same time the acknowledgement, the confirmation, the affirmation that Allah is due every ascription of perfection. That's why when we say Subhanallah, we don't say Subhanallah means glory to Allah. What does that mean, glory to Allah? What does that mean, glory to Allah? Subhanallah means I declare that Allah is free from all imperfections. I declare that Allah is perfect. I confirm for Allah perfection, that He is free from any imperfection. Now, so the Shaykh, he says what? That from the completion of declaring Allah to be free from defects is that we affirm for Him the sifat of greatness and grandeur and exaltedness and magnificence. فَإِنَّ التَّنْزِيهِ مُرَادٌ لِغَيْرِهِ مَقْصُودٌ بِهِ حِفْظُ كَمَالِهِ عَنْ الذُّنُونَ السَّيِّئَةِ كَالظَّنَّ الْجَاهِلِيَّ الَّذِينَ يَظُنُّونَ بِاللَّهِ ظَنَّ السُّوءِ ظَنَّ غَيْرَ مَا يَلِيكُ بِهِ. So the Shaykh, he says that declaring Allah to be free from defects, what is actually intended by this is something else. The intention is not just to say Allah is free from defects, that Allah doesn't forget, that Allah doesn't sleep, that Allah doesn't do injustice. That's not the intention. That's not the objective. Rather, the objective is something else. And what is the objective? To declare His perfection. To declare His perfection. This is from the rules of the people of Sunnah, of Asma wa Sifat, that any negation of defect or shortcoming that Allah mentions in the Quran or came in the Sunnah, the objective of it is not just to negate defect from Allah, but rather the objective is to confirm the opposite of it for Allah. If Allah says He doesn't sleep, this is to confirm what? The perfection of His life. That His life is perfect, it doesn't require sleep. He doesn't slumber. He doesn't forget because of the perfection. So if He says He doesn't do injustice, is to confirm what? That He does perfect justice. The objective is not just to say he doesn't do injustice. Rather, the objective is to say that He is just, that He is perfectly just. So, the Shaykh, he says what? That the objective of Tanzih is for something else, and that is to protect and to preserve His perfection. To protect it, to guard it from the evil thoughts, the evil thinking, like the thinking of the people of Jahiliyyah, those who used to think evil about Allah. And they used to think about Allah that which is not suitable to His majesty, or His greatness and His glory. So when the servant of Allah, the worshipper of Allah, al-Abd, the worship of Allah, when he praises his Lord by saying Subhanallah, or when he praises his Lord by saying Taqaddasallah or Ta'alallah, when he says these things and that which is similar to them, then he is praising Him بِالسَّلَامَةِ مِنْ كُلِّ نَقْسٍ وَإِثْبَاتِ كُلِّ كَمَالٍ. That he is praising Him by what? Declaring Him to be free from any type of defect and confirming for Him every perfection. When a person says Subhanallah, this is what they're saying. When a person says Taqaddasallah, Ta'alallah, this is the meaning of it. Also, the Shaykh mentioned also الكبير المتعال. And these names are directly affirmation of perfection for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. For example, in the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, عالم الغيب والشهادة الكبير المتعال. Ibn Kathir says, الكبير means الذي هو أكبر من كل شيء. الكبير, he is the one who is bigger than everything. As some of the other scholars said, الذي لا أكبر منه وكل كبير أمامه صغير. There is nothing greater than him. And everything that is great in front of him becomes small. Al-Kabir. Al-Kabir, in the Tafsir Jalalain, they said, Al-Kabir means Al-Azim. And Shaykh Al-Islam Ibn Taymiyyah said that Al-Kabir is a greater name than Al-Azim. It's greater than Al-Azim. That from the sifat of Allah, Al-Kibriya, this sifa is greater than the sifa of Al-Azama. It's greater. Al-Imam Shawkani said, Al-Kabir means Al-Azim alladhi kullu shayin dunahu. The magnificent one, that everything is less than him. And As-Sa'di, rahimahullah, said, Al-Kabir fi dhatihi wa asma'ihi wa sifatihi. That he is Al-Kabir, he is great in his that. His that is great, his divine being. His asma' are great and his sifat are great. Al-Muta'al, Ibn Kathir said, Al-Muta'al ala kulli shayin. That he is highly exalted above everything. And he has encompassed everything with his knowledge. And he has conquered or vanquished or overcome or dominated everything. And some of the scholars said, المتعالى لخلقه بالقهر, that he is high above his creatures by dominating them, by قهر, he dominates everything. As-Sa'di said, المتعالى لجميع خلقه بذاته وقدرته وقهره, that he is متعال over all of his creatures, his, by his that, his divine being, by his قدرة, his power, and by his قهر, his dominance. And As-Shawkani said, المستعلي على كل شيء بقدرته وعظمته وقهره, that he is the one who is very high above everything, his power, his greatness, and his dominance. And he said, or the meaning may be, المتعال أما يقول المشركين, that he is high above what the مشركين say, and what they falsely ascribe to him. And some of the scholars said, المتعال الخلقه المنزه عن الشرك والشبيه والصاحبة والولد, that he is highly exalted above his creatures. He is declared to be free of shirk. He has no partner. And shabi, no one similar to him. And sahiba, he doesn't have a wife or need for it. Or al-walad, he is free from all of this. High above, far removed from this being ascribed to him. These brief explanations give us some idea of what the Shaykh is meaning in this first sentence of his answer. Know that ulu al-sha'an is that which is pointed to or indicated by the type of indication of tadammun in the name of Allah al-Quddus al-Salam al-Kabir al-Muta'al. By tadammun, what we understand from these names are sifat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that show his ulu, the greatness of his position or his rank or his status or his station. These names, what are contained within them, وَمَا فِي مَعْنَاهَا, and other names that have the same meanings point to Allah's ulu. وَاسْتَلْزَمَتْهُ جَمِيعُ صِفَاتِ كَمَالِهِ وَنْعُودِ جَلَالِهِ, and that which is necessitated. By necessity, we also understand the indication by التزام from the sifat of his perfection and the نعود, the descriptions of his majesty. And then the Shaykh mentions 14 sifat. 14 sifat. And some of them he mentioned individually, and some of them he mentioned collectively. The first of them he mentioned, فَتَعَالَ فِي أَحَدِيَتِهِ أَن يَكُونَ لِغَيْرِهِ مُلْقٌ أَوْ قِسْطٌ مِنْهُ أَوْ يَكُونُ عَوْنًا لَهُ أَوْ ظَهِيرًا أَوْ شَفِيعًا عِنْدَهُ بِدُونِ إِذْنِهِ أَوْ عَلَيْهِ يُجِيرُ. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is high above and far removed. تَعَالَ That means he is what? Ta'ala. He's high above and far removed in his ahadiyya. And in his sifa of ahadiyya. Ahadiyya, his uniqueness. You could say oneness, but it is better to say he's unique, because something can be one and not be unique. Not necessarily be unique. Al-ahadiyya. Ta'ala fi ahadiyyatihi. He is high above and far removed in his ahadiyya from the being that there should be for anyone beside him sovereignty, or even a portion of sovereignty, or that there should be for him a helper, awnan lahu, aw dhahiran, a supporter, or shafi'an, andahu biduni idnihi, or that someone can intercede with him without his permission. He is high above and far removed from such. Because he is what? Al-Ahad. So this sifa of ahadiyya, it is telling us that Allah is unique, and therefore we cannot ascribe to anyone that they have any sovereignty, or even a portion of it, or that he has a helper or a supporter, or anybody can intercede with him, or that anyone can grant asylum or protection to someone against him. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Naam. So this sifa of ahadiyya, uniqueness, it is derived from the name of Allah, what? Al-Ahad. Al-Ahad. وَتَعَالَ فِي عَظَمَتِهِ وَكِبْرِيَائِهِ وَمَلَقُوتِهِ وَجَبَرُوتِهِ. And Allah is high above and far removed in His عَظَمَة, His sifa of عَظَمَة. His what? Sifa of عَظَمَة. That He is what? Magnificent. Greatness. وَكِبْرِيَائِهِ, grandeur or magnificence. وَمَلَكُوتِهِ, sovereignty. وَجَبَرُوتِهِ, omnipotence or being all-powerful. These four sifat, al-azama, wal-kibriya, wal-malakut, wal-jabarut, he said that Allah, due to these sifat, we say that He is high above and far removed from their being. عَنْ أَنْ يَكُونَ لَهُمْ مُنَازِعًا مُنَازِعٌ أَوْ مُغَالِبٌ أَوْ وَلِيٌّ مِنَ الظُّلْمِ أَوْ نَصِيرٌ. He is high above and far removed from their being. Anyone who can contest Him, or anyone that can overcome Him, or from being in need due to lowliness, that he is in need of a wali, someone to protect him, or a nasir, or anyone to help him. So these are four of the sifat of Allah. Al-Azama, which is derived from Allah's name, Al-Azim. And Al-Kibriya, which is derived from Allah's name, Al-Kabir. And Al-Malakut, which is derived from Allah's name, Al-Malik. And Al-Jabarut, which is derived from Allah's name, Al-Jabbar. Naam. And the Prophet ﷺ, in a supplication that we should say when we are in ruku, if you say Subhana Rabbi Al-Azim, how many times? At least three times you should say. Well, the Prophet ﷺ has given us many supplications to say in this position. From amongst them, Subhana Rabbi Al-Azim. And from amongst them, Subhanaka Allahumma Rabbana wa bihamdik Allahumma kfirli. And from amongst them, Subuhun Quddusun Rabbul Malaikati Ruh. And from amongst them is this supplication that these sifat came from, where the Prophet said, Subhana Thi Al-Jabarut Wal-Malakut Wal-Kibriya Wal-Azama. This is the supplication a person should say in ruku. In ruku, it is better that you glorify Allah and exalt Him. Azimu. And in sujood, it is better. Not that it's not permissible, but it's better that you make ijtihad. Ijtihad fi dua. And these are from the supplications that a person can say in this position. And there are others that are found in the books of supplication. And then the Shaykh, he mentions, وَتَعَالَ فِي صَمَدِيَّتِهِ, يعني in his characteristic of being the one who is without need of anyone, while everyone is in need of him. Everyone, every creature has to go to Allah to fulfill their need. وَتَعَالَ فِي صَمَدِيَّتِهِ. So he is high above and far removed in his characteristic of a samadiyya, from there being a sahiba, or a walid, or a walid, or kufu, or nadir, that he has any spouse, or a child, or a parent, or an equal, or anyone that is similar to him, or sharing with him,
or comparable to him. And this characteristic is from his name. Samadhi is from what name?
Samad.
And by the way, here in this characteristic, the Shaykh has mentioned 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 five things that should be negated from Allah. That he has a spouse, that he has a child, that he has a parent, that he has anyone comparable to him or anyone like him. And in the course of these 14 sifat, he mentioned 30 things that should be negated from Allah. As a result of what these sifat necessitate, what they indicate by iltizam. InshaAllah, we'll discuss as much of it as we can and we'll complete it next time. Bi-idhnillahi ta'ala. The next point that the Shaykh makes, وَتَعَالَ فِي كَمَالِ حَيَاتِهِ وَقَيُّمِيَّتِهِ وَقُدْرَتِهِ عَنَ الْمَوْتِ وَالسِّنَةِ وَالنَّوْمِ وَالْتَعَبِ وَالْإِعْيَاءِ. And Allah is high above and far removed in the perfection of His hayat, His life, and the perfection of His qayyumiyyah, His being self-subsistent, and the perfection of His qudra, His power. He is far high above and far removed from what? Al-maut, death, as-sina, slumber, al-nawm, sleep, al-ta'ab, being tired, al-i'ya, being exhausted. Allah doesn't get tired, He does not get exhausted. He does not slumber, He does not sleep, He does not die. In one hadith in Sahih Muslim, the Prophet ﷺ said, إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يَنَامُ وَلَا يَنْبَغِي لَهُ أَنْ يَنَامُ. إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يَنَامُ, He doesn't sleep. وَلَا يَنْبَغِي لَهُ أَنْ يَنَامُ, and it's not befitting of him to sleep. Because of what? Because of the كَمَال حَيَاتِهِ, the perfection of his life. And his قَيُّمِيَّة, and his قُدْرَة. So here are three sifat of Allah. Al-Hayat, which is derived from His name. Al-Hay. Al-Qayyumiyyah, derived from His name. Al-Qayyum. And Al-Qudra, derived from His name. Al-Qadir, Al-Qadir, and like this. وَتَعَالَ فِي كَمَالِ عِلْمِهِ. And He is high above and far removed in the perfection of His knowledge. عَنَ الْغَفْلَةِ وَالنِّسْيَانِ وَعَنْ عُزُوبِ مِثْقَالِ ذَرَّةٍ مِنْ عَنْ عِلْمِهِ فِي الْأَرْضِ أَوْ فِي السَّمَاءِ. That Allah is high above and far removed in the perfection of His knowledge from al-ghafla, from being unmindful, from being inattentive. Like sometimes we become inattentive, we're not paying attention. Somebody just asks a question, the next person 5 minutes later asks the same question. Allah is free from this, from nisyan. Oh, how much we forget. Allah doesn't forget. And it's all being recorded. But even if it wasn't recorded, Allah knows everything. He doesn't need the recording. That He doesn't forget. He knows everything and He doesn't forget. Because what? The perfection of His knowledge doesn't allow for such to be ascribed to Him. Or there's being escaping from His knowledge in the earth or in the heavens, even that which is equal to the weight of an atom or a small ant. Of anything that's happening in the heavens or the earth, none of it escapes from His knowledge. Rather, His knowledge encompasses everything. And this sifa of Allah al-ilm, obviously, is from His name, al-alim. وَتَعَالَ فِي كَمَالِ حِكْمَتِهِ وَحَمْدِهِ عَنْ خَلْقِ شَيْءٍ عَبَثًا وَعَنْ تَرْكِ الْخَلْقِ سُدًى بِلَا أَمْرٍ وَلَا نَحْيٍ وَلَا بَعَثٍ وَلَا جَزَاءٍ. That Allah is high above and far removed due to the perfection of His hikmah, His wisdom, and His hamd, His being entitled to all praise. He is high above and far removed from creating something just as amusement, yani without any purpose, or from leaving the creation after He has created it without any objective. Without any objective, without an amr, or a nahy, or a ba'ath, or a jaza. But rather he created the creation for a reason, for a purpose, based upon wisdom. And it has an objective. And that's why he has commanded us. That's why he has prohibited us. And that's why he will resurrect us. And then he will reward. It's not without objective. There's amr and there's nahi and there's ba'th and there's jaza. That we will be accountable. Allah has commanded us to be obeyed. And he has prohibited us to stay away from what he has prohibited. And he will resurrect us. And he will call us to account. And then we'll be recompensed. Whoever has done good will find good. And whoever has done evil will find that which they have sent ahead. And the Shaykh, rahimahullah, he said, وَتَعَالَ فِي كَمَالَ عَدْلِهِ فِي كَمَالِ عَدْلِهِ عَنَنْ يُظْلِمَ أَحَدًا مِثْقَالَ ذَرَّةٍ أَوَنْ يَهْدِمَهُ شَيْئًا مِنْ حَسَنَاتِهِ. That he is high above and far removed in the perfection of his justice from doing injustice to anyone equal to the weight of an atom or a small ant, or in treating anyone unjustly in reference to their hasanat, yani decreasing their hasanat or taking anything from their hasanat that they have earned. Allah is high above and far removed from this, and this sifa of adl is derived from his name, al-adl. And finally, the last sifa that the Shaykh mentions, وَتَعَالَ فِي كَمَالِ غِنَاهُ عَنَنْ يُطْعَمْ أَوْ يُرْزَقْ أَوْ يَفْتَقِرَ إِلَى غَيْرِهِ فِي شَيْءٍ. That Allah is high above and far removed in the perfection of his ghina, yani his being rich. He is high above and far removed from being fed, or being given provisions, or being in need of anyone other than him for anything. And this characteristic of ghina is derived from his name, Al-Ghani. Naam. So these are 14 of the sifat of Allah that are derived from 14 of Al-Asma Al-Husna. And each one of these sifat indicate by Al-Tizam something of Allah's, what should be negated from Allah, denied, rejected from Allah, not ascribed to Allah, for the purpose of what? To affirm the perfection of Allah. For the purpose of affirming Allah's perfection. So all of these sifat, along with these names, Al-Quddus, Al-Salam, Al-Kabir, Al-Muta'al, indicate to us what? The ulu of Allah's sha'n. And this is not the end of what the Shaykh said, but anyway, we'll read a little bit further and then we'll stop inshallah for the salah. And the Shaykh, he goes on to say, وَتَعَالَى, after mentioning these sifat, وَتَعَالَى فِي جَمِيعِ مَا وَصَفَ بِهِ نَفْسَهُ وَوَصَفَهُ بِهِ رَسُولُهُ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ عَنِ التَّعْتِيلِ وَالتَّمْثِيلِ. That Allah is high above and far removed in all of that which he has described himself with, and all of what his Messenger ﷺ has described him with, from the false principles of at-ta'til and at-tamthil. Yani whatever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has described himself with, and whatever his Messenger ﷺ has described him with, are free from these false principles of at-ta'til and at-tamthil. And briefly, concerning at-ta'til and at-tamthil, and these are some of the principles that are very important principles related to Tawheed al-Asma wa Sifat. Shaykh al-Uthaymeen, rahimahullah, said, At-ta'til, it means inkar, ma athbata Allahu li nafsihi min al-Asma wa Sifat. That is the rejection or the denial of what Allah has confirmed for Himself, whether from His names or from His divine characteristics or descriptions or qualities. Sawa'an kana kulliyan aw juz'iyan. And there's no difference whether they are denying something from his names or sifat, kulliyan aw juz'iyan, completely or partially. Meaning some of them, they deny them completely. They deny his names completely or deny his sifat completely. Deny his name, the name itself even. And some of them deny only partially, juz'iyan. They affirm the name but they deny its sifa that's derived from it. They say it's al-alim bila ilm. It's hakim bila hikmah. whether it is kulliyan or juz'iyan, all of this is ta'til. وسواء كان ذلك بالتحريف أو بجهود. And it is the same whether this denial is بالتحريف, يعني by distorting the meaning of the names or the sifat, or by juhud, absolutely denying them. It is the same. Because some of the people, they don't deny them outright, but they distort their meanings. They distort their meanings. They say Allah, His hands means power or ni'mah or something. Or His descending means His rahmah descends. So they don't outright deny it, but they distort the meaning of it. They give it some other interpretation. And this is falsehood. And Allah's names and His sifat should be accepted. And their meaning should be accepted. And we don't try to explain the how of them, but we accept them according to what their meaning is, in a way that's suitable to the majesty and the glory and the perfection of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Shaykh Abdul Rahman al-Sa'adi, rahimahullah, he said, إِنَّ التَّعْتِيلَ نَفْيِ لِلْمَعْنَى الْحَقِّ الَّذِي دَلَّ عَلَيْهِ الْكِتَابِ وَالسُّنَّةِ. The ta'til means to negate the true meaning which is indicated by the Qur'an and Sunnah. This is the meaning of ta'til. والتعريف or تحريف, تحريف is تفسير للنصوص بالمعاني الباطلة التي لا تدل عليها بوجه من الوجوه. Now here, the Shaykh Sa'adi, he is explaining the difference between ta'atil and tahrif. The Shaykh, he mentioned ta'atil. He didn't mention tahrif. But he's saying, as some of the scholars said, there's a difference between ta'atil and tahrif. Even though sometimes they're mentioned, yani interchangeably. But he said ta'atil means the negation of the true meaning, which is indicated by the Quran and Sunnah. And tahrif means to explain the textual evidences with false meanings, which are not indicated in any way whatsoever. Doesn't mean necessarily to negate, but it means to explain it. Yani to distort it with some interpretation that is false. And Shaykh Al-Taymin, rahimahullah, said, the difference between the two, at-tahrif fi al-dalil wa ta'atil fi al-madlul. That at-tahrif is in reference to the evidence itself, the dalil. And ta'atil is in reference to what the evidence points to. Tahrif is in reference to the dalil. They take the ayah and they distort its meaning. But ta'atil is in reference to that which it points to, what the ayah tells us, to negate it, to nullify it. So there's a difference between tahrif, distorting the textual evidence, and ta'atil, which is actually, yani, negating the meaning of what is pointed to by that ayat or that hadith or that evidence. And just quickly, and we'll stop here inshallah, Shaykh Al-Uthaymeen said about tamthil that it is the mention of something that is the likeness of something else, and in reference to the creator and the creation. That something that a description of Allah or a sifa of Allah, saying it is like something of the descriptions of human beings. And in another place he said, it is the belief, the aqidah, the i'tiqad, of the person who confirms Allah's sifat. It is his belief that what he has confirmed from the sifat of Allah the Most High are like the sifat of created beings. He confirms it, but what he makes tamthil. He said it is like something of the sifat of the created beings. And then he said, Shaykh Al-Uthaymeen said, At-Tashbih is like a tamthil. And also the Shaykh Hakim, he didn't mention Tashbih. He mentioned tamthil. But here, the Shaykh Al-Uthaymeen is saying that sometimes these words are used interchangeably, Tashbih and tamthil. He said it is like it. And sometimes they are mentioned yani differently, meaning they are distinguished between them, by saying that tamthil means At-Taswir fi kulli as-sifat. Yani that when you do tamthil, the meaning of tamthil is that when you say something is equal, two things are equal in all of their characteristics. And the tashbih is taswir fi akthar sifat. Whereas when you say tashbih, you mean that they are similar in most of their characteristics. So there's a difference between tamthil, where you're saying something is exactly like something else in all of its characteristics, and tashbih, when you're saying something is similar to, close to, in most of its characteristics. And in all of this, the point is, the Shaykh is saying here, that whatever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has described himself with, and whatever the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has described Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with, then we should not engage in these false principles of ta'til, negating their meanings, denying them, rejecting their true meanings, or distorting them, or reinterpreting them with something that has no basis. And we should not also use the principle of tamthil, making any likeness or example or similarities between the sifat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which are divine, and the sifat of the created beings, which are human and imperfect. Now, and we should stop here, inshallah. And we're almost at the end of the answer, but we'll finish it next week because it's time for salah. And everybody has some place to go. سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك أشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت أستغفرك وأتوب إليك. Inshallah, next week, if we have any questions about what we discussed tonight, inshallah, we'll bring your questions next week. And we'll finish next week and take your questions also. بإذن الله تعالى.